Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk podcast. Got Coach Gibson with me today. Coach, say what's up.
How you doing, man? Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on. Chris usually with me, but he's got some stuff going on tonight. That's all right. He's a busy man. He's always got something going on. So, Coach is joining us from Colorado Springs as the Govs are preparing to take on Air Force this weekend. Should be an interesting game. Coach, we'll just get right into it if you're okay with that.
Let's do it.
You know, you had the first game of the season already, and it went pretty great, I would say. I put out a tweet, you know, the only team in the UAC to score over 100 points, or the ASUN, sorry. And, you know, just the offense was really flowing, really efficient. Granted, I know the competition, but you don't take any wins for granted. And I would like to ask you, what was just your main takeaway from the decisive game one victory?
Well, the number one takeaway was the process that led to the progress that obviously some people were able to experience and view in real time inside the F&M Bank Arena. This group has been valiant in their effort and how they've welcomed the process more so than just being caught up in the progress. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get a group to do that in today's time. But this group we have is very process driven, and they understand that the standard is the standard. We were only concerned about the standard. It was never about an opponent. We had a standard that we wanted to display. We had a standard that we wanted to live up to. And that was the only thing that we realized that we could control while going through the process and going into the game, is that the standard has to be the standard.
And I think, you know, I was impressed by, with that being the first game and with so many new faces around, the chemistry it seems like they've already had, which is definitely a good sign to me. It just seems like like I said, the chemistry looks good to me. It looks like everybody's bought in, and it doesn't look like a one-man show. It looks like a cohesive team, and it definitely got me excited. I talked to a lot of people who were really excited after that game because, you know, anytime you score 128 points against anybody, that's, you know, that's something to be proud of. So if you could find something, I know you're always looking for ways to get better. It might be hard to think of something that you didn't do great in this game, but what's something you do want to see, you know, maybe get cleaned up going into some tougher opponents?
No matter what team we could be discussing in the country, mm-hmm. we have to be blessed with some good health, right? Like, absolutely. You and I can go around the horn and we can talk X's and O's. We can talk personnel, we can talk who you like, we can talk who I like, we can talk philosophy. None of it matters without availability, right? Like, we experienced that last year. We experienced lack of availability. And people often ask, like, what happened? What was the deal? What's going on? Well, when you don't have availability, you don't have to ask what happened. It's going to happen to you.
Right.
You know, we have to be blessed with great health. We have to be blessed with availability, because the best talent is availability. But the good thing about that is that we are blessed with impactful depth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about having guys on a roster. You have to have impactful depth. And at times you want the guys in the rotation coming off the bench to be better than the first five. And I wouldn't be afraid to say that we have embarked on some of that.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of turnover. You had eight new faces in, kind of going from all over. What was something that you looked for when you were deciding who you wanted to be a part of this team this year?
Well, first of all, I'm thankful for the staff. Like, mm-hmm. this staff deserves a lot of credit. You know, they really went out and fed the funnel. They reached out into to contacts that we trust. Mm-hmm. We went in fine. We know who we are, but you have to get players that can defend who you are, can defend your pillars, and also demonstrate it behind closed doors and under the lights. Just thankful that we have a staff that understands that. We have a staff that defend the pillars and the emphasis of the program. And the best way to do it by defending the pillars is to go out and recruit and lure young men that are equally yoked to what we do. The fact that we have an equally yoked group, you can see that the chemistry has been expedited since the summer mm-hmm. up until now, sure. the start of the season.
For sure. And then what does it say to have, you know, some impact players coming back who are now the veterans on the team, like McCubbin and Brookshire and Lax? What can you say about those guys? How important have they been in the process of getting everybody acclimated this year?
Yes, I mean, all five of them have been instrumental. I mean, mm-hmm. you take Terrell Gaines and Hansel Emmanuel also. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime that you can retain somebody in today's climate is special mm-hmm. because retention is very hard. So for those guys who want to return back to this program, it says a lot about the staff. It says something about the community. They felt welcome here. But they also want to do something special here. They want to have a legacy. And they also did a great job in the recruitment process with the staff being available, being visible. And being impactful in the positivity of how they feel like this would be a great place for newcomers to come and embark on something special and leave a legacy behind. So all the way around, they just haven't helped in the fact of just being great student athletes, which they are. They're also great recruiters. I mean, they help the staff just as much as anybody bring in this special recruitment class.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I know you don't want to – we're not going to focus too much on the past because, you know, we're on to this season. But, you know, last year, just looking back, 14-19 overall, 8-10 in conference play. There was a lot of really bright moments last year, though. And just looking back at it, kind of like a postmortem analysis, what did you think kind of went wrong last year that you're looking to change this year?
I wouldn't say that anything went wrong. You know, life is always about perspective,
right?
To where, like, you take Tate McCubbin, for instance. I remember going into the office and speaking with our administration. And I said, you know, at a certain point in time, I said, we're going to take some lumps. I said, but the lumps that we're going to take are going to help us in the future,
right?
And the reason why I said that is because we had some young men getting quality minutes that were extremely young. Mm-hmm. And so it's all in perspective to where in life, sometimes we have to be willing to take lumps for the marathon, right? It's not always about, like, sometimes you can be winning when people think you are losing.
Right.
You know, we won a lot of ways in the development of our returners that got quality minutes under the lights. And when you know you got a group returning and you letting them get time under the lights, even though they may not be ready for the lights yet, but as you see them grow and develop throughout the year, somebody else may see it as losing. But then when they return and you see the growth and impact they making in the next year, you may say, oh man, it may have been a lot of winning going on that we didn't realize.
Yeah, it's like a temporary setback. Yeah,
the only time you lose in life is if you don't learn from it. I've never lost anything in life, but now somebody else may have.
I like that. I'm going to probably use that. Just saying.
Please do.
I love that. But yeah, I mean, that's a good way to look at it. Everybody deals with adversity. It's, you know, how you come out of it. Obviously, you know, playing at Austin Peay, and obviously this means a lot to you, just the university, the city. What would it take for you to look back? I know you just said you always take something out of everything. But what would have to happen this season for you to think, wow, like that was a great season?
It's really, for me, it's really not going to be about this season. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to make sure I have a broader view and a broader lens and just being singular in one particular season. I won't know what type of legacy I've really had in Austin Peay. My staff really won't know what type of legacy they've had at Austin Peay until maybe 14, 15 years from now when these young men have become adults, right? Like, we have to make sure that these young men understand that just bigger than what they do on the court. One day these young men are going to be husbands. One day they're going to be fathers. One day they're going to be somebody's neighbors. One day they're going to work in somebody's occupation. They're going to be sitting behind the desk. They're going to be mentoring some young men, some young women. Some of them may be preachers, right? To where, like, that's going to determine the legacy that we leave behind. We win a championship. Notice I didn't say if we win. I say we win a championship, and these young men turn out to be a menace to society. Well, we have left behind a good legacy, right? Like, we have to make sure we think big picture here. Like, these young men are representing Austin Peay State University for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in perspective, like I said before, but we feel like, and we feel like deep down in our bones and our heart, that we have recruited young men that are going to represent this university and community well beyond the years of them having collegiate eligibility.
Love that. What do you have a good, what's your relationship like with some of the other head coaches on campus? Because I've noticed the common theme is all of you care so much about the university, and, you know, it's not just, you're not just grabbing people in the portal, throwing them in the team and trying to win games. You actually, there's a deep emphasis on like ingraining them into the community and caring about them as a person. So what's your relationship like just with other people on campus?
I think that's what makes Austin Peay unique and special, mm-hmm. is that we all rally around each other. We all root for each other. And we all understand that we're only as good as each other, right? I feel like that football, the momentum that we've had with our football season this year, I think it's helped us in some other sports. We got to continue to focus on that. We got to continue to rally around each other, because when the athletic department can understand and see and feel and know that it's about each other's success and the support of each other, having unconditional love for each other, that's when everything kicks off and has unbelievable momentum. And I've always felt that way about Austin Peay, as even from my days as being a student athlete. And I think that it's even now better than ever, and how everybody rallies around each other and supports one another.
It is definitely unique. Like when I went to school, like, you know, 2016, 2017, there wasn't as much of an emphasis on athletics, and it wasn't that community kind of buy-in that you have now. So, you know, a couple months ago, well, about 6 months ago now, I had Gerald Harrison, former AD, on, and he mentioned that, you know, like Clarksville's hometown team. And I gave him a lot of credit for, and President Licari as well, for kind of getting that buy-in, a community buy-in back. And it is special. I mean, I've covered sports in different college towns before, and you don't see this everywhere. I mean, this is special.
It is. Clarksville is a unique place. We still gotta tap into the youth of the community. We still gotta really work to tap more into the military side of the community. We got a lot of work to do. We're close, but yet we're so far away from really bringing it all the way together. But, you know, when are you ever done bringing it all together? Like, you know, it's an everyday process. It's a one day at a time, one step at a time, 1 minute at a time. But I do believe that we got the right people in place that are really willing to work for it and give it all that they have to try to bring it all together.
Yeah. And, you know, with the military, being a military town, you have a constant flux of people coming in and out. So that's a ton of new fans that you can make and new people that you can always get coming to the games. So, and plus, like I say, you guys, I think, have the best home court in the ASUN. I think the FNM Arena is special.
It's a special place, but we gotta continue to work hard to find a way to really fill the vault. Right. Like we have to do that. We got to find a way. But I think as we continue to get our heads together and get all parties involved, we can continue to meet some of those goals, too.
Yep. We've got some good home games coming up, so there's a lot of opportunities. You know, me and Chris will be at every game. We're going to have a lot of – I get my friends who don't even like basketball, and I've got them to come out to games last season, and they got excited about it. So I think it'll be a special season. I think there's some good things, and obviously we're all rooting for you. You know, we know how much this means to you and your coaching staff. And I just want to thank you for coming on, and thank you for being available to us. The transparency is awesome.
Hey, thank you for having me. And we appreciate your unconditional love and support, and anything we can do for you, man, please let us know.
Thank you, sir. Yes. So we have, before you get off here, let everybody know we have Air Force coming up, and then another road game at Wyoming, and then UNC Greensboro.
That's right.
Be back at the vault later in November. And hopefully we'll get a packed house in there for conference play starting in January. We need that place to be packed.
You know, this is rare for us, you know, conference play starting January 1st of having, you know, two home games back to back. You know,
right.
our first year we had our first 8 conference games, 6 of those were on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to have, you know, back-to-back home games and league play is yep. big time for us. You know, we got to really come out and pack that vault and have that 6-man energy up in there. It makes a mean difference, a tremendous Absolutely. Difference.
Absolutely. We all heard Coach get out there January 1st and January 3rd, start a conference play. Need to make it as good as we can do it. Coach, once again, thank you. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. You have a blessed one now.
All right. That was Coach Gibson. Hopefully we'll have him on a few more times during the season, check in, kind of give some updates. So now we'll pivot over to football because we still do have a couple football games left. This is the second to last home game. It's the last conference game at home. Time flies. Feels like MTSU was like a week ago, but here we are. We're almost at the end of it. Entering this game against Central Arkansas, Austin Peay is 5-4, 3-3 in the UAC. Central Arkansas is 3-6, 2-3 in the UAC. Central Arkansas is not ranked in either poll. Austin Peay is not either, but we're still receiving votes in both polls. So that's interesting. Inside the series, this is the 7th meeting between these two teams. Central Arkansas leads 5-1. Conway has not been a fun place to play for the Govs historically, which this game is not in Conway. So, in 2023, Austin Peay beat Central Arkansas 14-12 to win the 2023 UAC championship. So, what a Govs win would mean is that the Govs would improve to 6-4 overall and 4-3 in the UAC, securing a 500 or better regular season and a conference record for the 24-25 season. Austin Peay would surpass its 2024 UAC win total, and it would be the 12th time in program history and the 6th time since 2017 that Austin Peay has won at least 4 conference games in a season. And it would be our first 5-game home winning streak since a 6-game home winning streak in 2023. Govs by the numbers. Number 2. With 16 passing and 10 rushing touchdowns, Chris Parson is the 2nd quarterback in APSU history with double-digit passing and rushing touchdowns in a season, joining Sonny DeFilippis, who had 12 and 10 in 1980. Second number is 8.8. Montrez Smith Jr. has recorded 53 of his 60 tackles and 3 double-digit tackle games in 6 UAC contests. Been a tackling beast. In UAC action, Smith is averaging 8.8 tackles per game with 5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and 2 interceptions. So Trez is a beast, especially when he's playing against conference opponents. You love to see it. Finally, Austin Peay, 94.1. Austin Peay is 3rd in the FCS and leads the UAC in red zone offense, converting 94% of the time. So Still doing great when we get the ball down in the red zone. We will, player of the game is going to be nickelback Chase Allen, getting the chance to rep Mr. Will Hardrick. Montrez wore it last week. All right, moving on. Let's go look at some stats. How do these two teams compare? Well, it's been a down year for UCA. They were projected to finish above Austin Peay in the preseason poll, but just hasn't gone together too well for them, and I'm about to tell you why. Total offense, Austin Peay is still averaging 444 yards per game. UCA averages just over 372. Rushing offense, pretty similar. Austin Peay's at 188.7 yards per game. UCA rushes for 161.4 yards per game. So they got a pretty nice little run game again, just like Southern Utah last week. Passing offense, Austin Peay still leads the league at 255.8 yards per game. Central Arkansas averages 211. Scoring offense, this is a pretty sizable advantage for the Peay. Austin Peay is still averaging 34 points per game. Central Arkansas is averaging 23. Total defense, another sizable advantage for Austin Peay. Austin Peay is allowing 330.9 yards per game. Central Arkansas is allowing 389.4 yards per game. Rush defense, last week was not the best rush defense for Austin Peay, not the best at all, but still leading the league in rushing defense, allowing 118.9 yards on the ground per game. UCA can get run on. They're allowing 161 yards per game on the ground. Passing yards allowed, their pass defense is much better than the rush defense. Austin Peay's allowing 212 yards through the air. Central Arc is allowing 228 yards through the air. So there's that. Turnover margin, Central Arkansas is at a minus one. Austin Peay is minus 0.1. So Austin Peay's better there. Third down conversion percentage, Austin Peay, like I said, leading the league in red zone offense and third down conversion percentage. So, and still leading the league in time of possession as well, even though last week wasn't the best in that category. All right, last time Austin Peay and Central Arkansas played was obviously last year, and it was in Conway, like I said, House of Horrors. It was 45-17 in favor of Central Arkansas, and that was kind of the only game last year that really got out of the Gov's hand conference-wise. It was pretty much the only blowout, so it was not very fun. But like I said, the last time Central Arkansas was here resulted in a win for the Govs. Versus the Natural State, Austin Peay is 11-14 all time. Four of those wins are against Arkansas Monticello. Two are against Arkansas State. Two are against Arkansas Tech, and two are against Henderson State. And the Govs are 7-3 all time when hosting teams from Arkansas. So that's a nice little tidbit. This is also the salute to service game. I don't know if you guys saw the tweet. Awesome hype video. Austin Peay is 6-4 in Military Appreciation Day games dating back to 2014. So you got to show out for the Campbell. Looking at the offense again, it continues to amaze me how healthy the team has been. Which is a blessing. You definitely don't want to take that for granted, especially entering the end of the season here, kind of wrapping things out. Hopefully you can end it out with nobody, getting a late season injury that could kind of linger into next year. Reminder, Montrez Smith is still on the Jerry Rice Award watch list. He leads Austin Peay with 60 tackles. And he's seventh in that UAC in tackles per game. So Montrez has been a beast, and he's just a redshirt freshman too. Like, he's only going to get better, man. Like I said, the starting lineup, it's been mostly the same. We did have some notable performances last week that I kind of wanted to mention again, just because, after the loss, we were kind of all upset and we didn't really give – there was a couple things I wanted to shout out that I didn't get to. So Khalil Tate had a great game last week. He was thrust into the starting lineup. He had 11 total tackles. And he really – I don't know what was going on with Wiley last week, but to see Khalil Tate kind of step in and not miss a beat, it was nice to see. And then I wanted to also mention that this is not a good stat, but we forgot to kind of make note of it. For the first time in six games, Chris's streak got broken, the rushing touchdown streak. So it was a shame to see that didn't continue, but he's had such an incredible run, just deadly. And in the red zone offense, that's a big part of why the red zone offense has been so good as well, because Chris is deadly with his legs. All right. Moving on here. So talking about Central Arkansas. So we're used to Central Arkansas kind of being a problem, you know. And you don't want to say that you can't lose, because as we've seen against Eastern Kentucky, you can lose to anybody. Hopefully not at home, but still. Looking at Central Arkansas' schedule this year, they started off the season at Missouri, which understandably they got bludgeoned. Then they play against Arkansas Pine Bluff in a dominant win. Then they lost three in a row. So they started 1-1 and they lost three in a row. They lost to Tarleton, Sacramento State, and Lamar. Again, understandable losses. Then after losing three in a row, they rattled off two wins in a row in conference play, beat Utah Tech 23-17, and then beat North Alabama 49-21. But the winning did not continue. After that, it went down to West Georgia, lost 18-17, and then they went home against EKU and lost 34-13. So that's where we're at now. So they have losses to Eastern Kentucky, West Georgia, and Tarleton in conference, and then wins over Utah Tech and North Alabama. So their two conference wins are also teams Austin Peay has beaten. So interesting. The remaining games on their schedule, they have us this week, and then they have at Southern Utah, which that's brutal. So they're going to Clarksville this weekend, and then next weekend they're going all the way across the country to Southern Utah, and then they're ending the regular season at home against Abilene. So that's a pretty brutal little stretch for them. Looking at their statistics, I went over what they're doing as a team, but now we'll kind of go over individual players. So at quarterback, Austin Myers is who is going to be the quarterback here. They've used two quarterbacks this season. They have Austin Myers and Luther Richeson. Austin Myers has completed 58.7% of his passes for 1,160 yards with 9 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. It kind of goes back to what I was telling you earlier. They do turn the ball over quite a bit, and they're negative on the season in turnover margin. So that's something to keep an eye on. But Myers is going to be the guy. And then running back, they do have a bell cow, just like Southern Utah. They have Landon Chambers. He already has 981 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's a good player right there. And that kind of makes you nervous because of what happened last week. So remember that name. That is definitely something to watch. He ranks Chambers as 5th in the FCS in rushing yards, 7th in rushing yards per game, and 40th in rushing touchdowns. So he's second in the conference in the first two categories. So it's a good running back right there. That's the second really, really strong running back that Austin Peay's going to have to face. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Passing wise, like I said, they're kind of middle of the pack. They're 5th in the UAC in passing offense, 6th in total offense, and 7th in scoring. So they're kind of in the middle of the pack, but they're going to lean on that running the ball. They're going to lean on that running back. He's got to be able to hopefully stop it. Couldn't do it last week. We'll see if he can do it this week. Receivers, they have a clear number one receiver as well, Malachi Henry. He easily leads in every receiving category, 50 catches for 599 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's the only wide receiver that has 25 or more catches. Second place is Ty Durham, who has 22 catches for just 273 yards. So they have a clear-cut wide receiver one. They have a clear-cut lead back. Malachi Henry, Landon Chambers, those are going to be names that you're going to watch. They don't really have a tight end to speak of. They don't throw the ball to tight ends at all. Their tight end, Ben Hallmark, has 3 catches on the season. So if they're not running the ball, they're trying to get it to the number one wide receiver, which you got to think is a pretty good advantage for Austin Peay. On defense, defensive back Dylan Williams leads in tackles. He has 52 on the season, also has 3 pass breakups and an interception. Interesting little tidbit. Nobody on their team has more than one interception. They have 5 guys that have 1. And then in terms of sacks, their leader in sacks is defensive lineman Gary Lewis, who has 3, and then Carmelo Allen has 2. So it's not a team that you think would bully Austin Peay's offensive line. You would think that we would be able to kind of give Chris clean pockets, let the plays develop. You know, at home, he loves to hit those deep balls. So I think he'll have plenty of opportunities to do so this week. Yeah, now we can get into predictions, keys to the game type of thing. Chris texted me his prediction. So let's go ahead and start that. Chris predicts 38-14, another dominant home conference win for the Govs. He's gonna like my prediction about how it's a good matchup for Austin Peay. Apparently, we see eye to eye there. Who would have known? 38-14. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of along the lines I was thinking. This is a defense that you can move the ball on, and it's not an offense that I think should be able to keep up with Chris. You want to try to score early, set the tone at home, get the home crowd into it. It's hard to come back when you're a running team. So if we can get an early 2-touchdown lead, that would be nice. You'd have to feel good about how that's going to go. I'm going to go – my score prediction is going to be Austin Peay 41, Central Arc 17. I just think we have too much offensive firepower. I hope our players are pissed about how last week happened. And, you know, at this point, you know, we talked about you have to have kind of a lot happen, go right, for you to still have a chance at the playoffs. But, you know, you need to win your games in convincing fashion. At the very least, control what you can control. You know, it's not going to look good if you, you know, eke out a win against Central Arc. You need to do as good as you can in the games that you have left. Control what you can control, and then whatever else happens will happen. So I think Austin Peay knows that. I think they're going to come out there ready to play, wanting to put last week behind them, you know, show the committee that this is still a playoff caliber team, which I think it is. And we'll see what happens. I think the key to the game, like I said, early scores. I think you need to get some points on the board early, and then limiting their running back. I think it really is as simple as that. I think they're going to see how Southern Utah and Joshua Dye were able to have pretty good success against us. Eastern Kentucky had decent success against us. I think, you know, the jury's kind of out. I think they know what they are going to try to do to beat us. And I think if you stop that, make him throw it. I mean, he's got one target that he likes to throw to. Make him throw the ball, take away the number one wide receiver. I think you're going to feel pretty good about it. You're going to be playing at home. Hopefully we have a good home crowd out there. I think it's supposed to be kind of cold Saturday. So the first couple of games of the season were like incredibly hot. So that's kind of a nice change of pace. Yeah, I mean, we need to pack the house for this team. There's only 2 more home games after this, and this is the last conference home game. So if you haven't been to a Govs game yet, go to this one. And even if you have, still go to this one, because you only get so many of these chances a year. And, you know, like I said, I can't believe the season goes by this fast. It's already basketball season. You got the Govs basketball playing this weekend, and you have football playing. And before you know it, I mean, it'll be baseball season and tournament time. So go out there, support the P. I do think this is a win. I think it goes without saying this is a must win. you have to win out now because you gave yourself, you removed any margin of error that you would have had had you won against EKU or against Southern Utah. So you went out and you finished 8-4 with a win over Tarleton. I mean, and a win over an FBS team. So that's still a pretty good resume. I mean, you never know. Crazier things have happened. All right, go support the Govs this weekend. Football team kicks off from the Fort at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Hope to see everybody there, and let's go pee.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need, with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.